Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News, I'm Marcela Sanchez. Former President Bill Clinton will testify today in a House investigation into Jeffrey Epstein. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton testified yesterday, telling members of Congress she had no knowledge of Epstein's or Ghislaine Maxwell's crimes.
I don't know how many times I had to say I did not know Jeffrey Epstein.
After closed-door questioning that lasted 6 hours, Hillary Clinton repeated her demand that her deposition be opened to reporters. The former Secretary of State told the House Oversight Committee she had no knowledge of crimes by Jeffrey Epstein or his girlfriend, Ghislaine Maxwell.
I knew Ghislaine Maxwell casually as an acquaintance.
The questioning in Chappaqua, New York was paused after Republican Lauren Boebert violated committee rules by sending a photo from the deposition to a conservative influencer.
Why did you send the picture?
Why not?
The Clintons only agreed to talk after Republican committee chair James Comer rejected their offers of sworn statements and threatened criminal contempt charges. Bill Clinton is also being made to testify, a first for a former president. Committee Democrat Robert Garcia says the Clintons are not the only ones who need to answer for their connection to Epstein.
Let's get President Trump in front of our committee.
I'm Jennifer King.
Meanwhile, AP correspondent Charles de Ledesma reports on a new probe into disgraced former ambassador Peter Mandelson's business dealings.
The European Commission has asked its anti-fraud watchdog, OLAF, to examine Peter Mandelson's links to Jeffrey Epstein during a period when he was the EU's trade chief. A commission official confirmed the probe on Thursday after many documents became public. The watchdog agency has a track record of probing fraud and misconduct across EU institutions, but it does not confirm an investigation. Mandelson faces scrutiny in Britain over alleged misconduct in public office tied to Epstein. His past relationship with Epstein also creates political trouble for Prime Minister Keir Starmer. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Federal immigration authorities arrested a Columbia University student yesterday, triggering protests on campus and allegations they gained entry to the university-owned residence by posing as police officers searching for a missing child. But hours later, Eli Agayev was released after an apparent intervention by President Trump. In a social media post, Mayor Zoran Mamdani says he expressed concerns about the arrest during an unrelated meeting with Trump, who then agreed to release her immediately. In other news, Pakistan's defense minister says its country is in open war with Afghanistan after both countries launched cross-border attacks. Tensions have been high between the neighbors for months. Border clashes in October killed dozens of soldiers, civilians, and suspected militants. More information at apnews.com. This is AP News. Netflix is walking away from its offer to buy Warner Brothers Discovery Studio and streaming business. Warner's board announced that Skydance-owned Paramount's latest offer was superior to the agreement it had previously struck with Netflix. AP correspondent Ben Thomas reports that an AI company is rebuffing the Pentagon's demands.
Earlier this week, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth gave the maker of the AI chatbot Claude an ultimatum: open its artificial intelligence technology for unrestricted military use by Friday or risk losing its government contract. But CEO Dario Amodei says Anthropic cannot in good conscience accede to the Pentagon's demands. He says the company's not walking away from negotiations, but new contract language made virtually no progress on preventing Claude's use for mass surveillance of Americans or in fully autonomous weapons. The Pentagon says it has no interest in using AI for those purposes.
I'm Marcela Sanchez, AP News.
The U.S. military used a laser Thursday to shoot down a seemingly threatening drone flying near the U.S.-Mexico border. It turned out the drone belonged to Customs and Border Protection. The case of mistaken identity prompted the Federal Aviation Administration to close additional airspace 50 miles southeast of El Paso. The military is required to formally notify the FAA when it takes any counter-drone action inside U.S. airspace. It was the second time in 2 weeks that a laser was fired in the area. The last time, it was CBP that used the weapon and nothing was hit. This time, the closure was smaller and commercial flights were not affected. The U.S. Embassy in Israel has told its staff that it can leave the country and urged anyone considering departure to do so immediately as the threat of an American strike on Iran hangs in the balance. U.S. Ambassador Mike Huckabee told embassy staff in an email that discussions with U.S. State Department officials had led to a decision authorizing voluntary departures for those who wish to leave. The departure authorizations signal a new level of contingency planning as American aircraft and warships mass in the Middle East. Reports have emerged that during the large uprising against the Iranian government in January, plainclothes agents swarmed hospitals in multiple cities, treating the thousands wounded by Iranian security forces who fired on large crowds to quash massive protests against the Iranian government. One doctor who asked not to be identified says,
"The first concern at the time was the patient's safety, because we knew that the patient, no matter what we did for the patients, they wouldn't be safe once they stepped right outside the hospital."
There are multiple reports of agents intimidating hospital staff, seizing injured protesters, taking away the dead in body bags. Dozens of doctors were arrested.
"I still have trouble sleeping at nights. Sometimes I don't sleep at all."
Iranian health officials are refuting those claims. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Minnesota Governor Tim Walz unveiled an anti-fraud package after the Trump administration threatened to halt Medicaid funds. Vice President J.D. Vance says there will be a temporary halt to some Medicaid funding in Minnesota because of fraud.
"You had Somali fraudsters who were saying that their kids were autistic even though they weren't. They were collecting a fat check from all of you, and they were getting rich from it."
The governor's response:
"This is a targeted retribution against a state that the president doesn't like."
Tim Walz says the government is using false information as a pretext.
CMS's own numbers say Medicaid error rates in Minnesota are 2.1%. National average is 6.4%. Why are you coming to a state with the lowest in this?
Walz unveiled a package of legislation intended to fight fraud in public programs in Minnesota. FedEx says it will pass along tariff refunds to shippers and consumers. FedEx filed a lawsuit in the Court of International Trade to get a refund on what it paid for tariffs set by President Trump. Last week, the Supreme Court ruled those tariffs are illegal. After the ruling, the president said there was no mention of what happens next.
"Wouldn't you think they would have put one sentence in there saying that keep the money or don't keep the money, right? I guess it has to get litigated for the next 2 years."
More than 1,000 companies have filed suit to recoup costs from tariffs. FedEx joins other corporations like Costco and Revlon. Setting up a system for refunds will likely be a lengthy process. I'm Ed Donahue.
The U.S. and Iran have ended their latest round of indirect nuclear talks without reaching a deal, leaving the prospect of another Mideast war on the table. Oman's top diplomat, who mediated the talks, said there was significant progress. But just before the talks in Geneva ended, Iranian state TV indicated Tehran was not prepared to meet President Trump's demands to constrain its program. The negotiations came during a week where the Trump administration said Iran should not rebuild parts of a nuclear program the U.S. attacked in June.
"And here they are. You can see them always trying to rebuild elements of it."
"The principle is very simple.
I will never allow the world's number one sponsor of terror, which they are by far, to have a nuclear weapon. Can't let that happen."
The U.S. has massively built up military forces in the Middle East. Iran's top diplomat tells India Today TV that could lead to a devastating regional war.
"There would be no victory for anybody."
A federal judge has rejected a preservationist group's bid to block President Trump's $400 million White House ballroom project. The National Trust for Historic Preservation sought to pause the project until it undergoes independent reviews and gets congressional approval, neither of which the president sought before demolishing the East Wing and moving ahead with construction. Today, a judge says the group's unlikely to succeed on the merits of its bid, saying the challenge was based on ragtag theories. The president's hailing the ruling as great news for America, months after saying the ballroom will live long into the future.
It'll be the most beautiful ballroom anywhere in the world, I think.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
Attorneys for Kilmar Abrego-Garcia say that the federal government charging their client with human smuggling is nothing but vindictive, and they're arguing before a federal judge in Tennessee Thursday that the charges be thrown out. Abrego-Garcia, an El Salvadoran citizen, was mistakenly deported last year to an El Salvadoran prison. But the Trump administration fought his return to the U.S. After the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the administration had to work to bring him back, he was charged with human smuggling, based on a 2022 traffic stop in Tennessee. I'm Donna Warder.
The U.S. Treasury is moving to cut a small Swiss bank off from the U.S. financial system over alleged illicit ties to Iran and Russia. Treasury's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network has proposed a rule that blocks U.S. banks from doing business with MBEAR Merchant Bank. The U.S. Treasury says MBEAR funnels more than $100 million through the U.S. system for Iranian and Russian criminals and accuses the bank of money laundering and terrorist financing. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent is warning other banks to stay clear. Memorial services for Reverend Jesse Jackson begin in Chicago and stretch across the country to honor his long civil rights legacy. Jackson will lie in repose for 2 days at the Rainbow Push Coalition headquarters. Events also take place in Washington, D.C. and in South Carolina, where Jackson was born and began his activism. Jackson died last week at 84 after a rare neurological disorder. Tributes have spread worldwide. Digital screens on Chicago's L trains display Jackson's portrait and his well-known mantra,
"I am somebody. Respect me."
His family says the services are open to all. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Authorities say a third person has died following a shooting at an ice rink in Rhode Island. Gerald Dorgan had been in critical condition ever since his ex-son-in-law opened fire at the skating rink February 16th, killing Dorgan's daughter, the shooter's ex-wife, and Dorgan's adult grandson, the shooter's son. Dorgan's wife, the shooter's ex-mother-in-law, and a family friend were wounded. As people jumped on the shooter, one witness says the gunman pulled out another weapon and killed himself. Police say the gunman specifically targeted family members. I'm Donna Warder.
A fire at an Ohio hog farm complex has killed about 6,000 hogs. A large column of smoke could be seen in the distance Wednesday from Fine Oak Farms in London. Fire officials say 2 of 5 large agricultural buildings were heavily involved in fire as firefighters arrived, and say that strong winds spread the fire. Crews ran water shuttles because the rural area has a limited supply. Firefighters brought the blaze under control in 5 hours. No one else was hurt. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
I'm Seth Sutel, and this is the AP Markets Report. The worst day for NVIDIA since last spring dragged the stock market lower. The S&P 500 fell 0.5% Thursday, even though most stocks in the index rose. The Dow Jones Industrial Average added just 17 points. That's barely changed in percent terms. The Nasdaq Composite sank 1.2%. NVIDIA delivered another stellar profit report and gave a forecast for revenue that once again beat analysts' expectations. That wasn't enough to impress investors. The huge AI chip company has become known for regularly beating Wall Street's forecasts. NVIDIA fell 5.5%. That's its worst day since April. Software companies bounced back. Several of them had tumbled in recent weeks on worries that AI-powered competitors could take business away from them. ServiceNow and CrowdStrike each rose about 5%. Seth Sutel, New York.
Good news for home shoppers. The average rate on a 30-year mortgage is now below 6% for the first time in 3.5 years. Mortgage buyer Freddie Mac says the average rate dropped this week to 5.98%. That's its lowest level since September 2022. The average rate has been hovering around 6% this year, reflecting a pullback in the long-term bond yields that lenders use as a guide to pricing home loans. The latest decline in rates comes as the spring home buying season gets rolling. I'm Alex Vega.
AP Sports, I'm Gethin Coolbaugh. Kevin Durant scored a season-high 40 points and became the sixth player in NBA history with 32,000 points in a 113-108 win over the Magic.
It feels incredible. I always love being mentioned with the greats of all time.
Hornets guard Con Knipple broke the NBA rookie record for three-pointers in a season in only 59 games. College basketball, number 13 Michigan State upset number 8 Purdue 76-74. Braden Smith became the fifth D1 player with 1,000 career assists in the loss. Women's college hoops, number 1 UConn earned its 46th straight win, 84-52 over Georgetown. In golf, Austin Smotherman has a one-shot lead after a Cognizant Classic opening 62. NFL, the Jets traded Jermaine Johnson to the Titans for Tavondre Sweat, and the Colts gave QB Anthony Richardson permission to seek a trade. 8 members of Cuba's delegation were denied visas to the United States for the World Baseball Classic, the Cuban Baseball and Softball Federation said. Cuba is set to play against Puerto Rico, Colombia, Panama, and Canada in San Juan, Puerto Rico, during pool play of the WBC, which is scheduled from March 5th through 17th. Among the Cubans that were denied visas are FCBS President Juan Ronaldo Perez Pardo and General Secretary Carlos Del Pino Munoz. Pitching coach Pedro Luis Lasso was also denied. The NCAA Football Oversight Committee is recommending emergency legislation to protect the transfer portal window by issuing penalties for schools and coaches who circumvent the rules. The committee proposed the legislation to penalize schools who had players who did not make public their interest in transferring during the January window. The proposed legislation would become effective immediately if approved at the Division I cabinet meeting in April. The head coach who accepts a transfer who did not enter the January portal would be prohibited from all recruiting, on-field coaching, and meetings for 6 games. U.S. hockey player Brady Tkachuk says a White House TikTok video falsely paints him as insulting Canadians. Tkachuk calls the clip clearly fake. He says the audio and lip movement do not match. The video uses fabricated audio that includes a bleep slur about Canadians. Tkachuk says he would never use that language. He also denies shouting, quote, close the northern border, end quote, during Team USA's phone call with President Donald Trump after Sunday's Olympic gold medal win over Canada. The team has returned from Italy and NHL play has resumed. I'm Gethin Coolbaugh.
The Greens' Hannah Spencer was declared winner of the contest in Gorton and Denton early Friday with 14,980 votes. Matthew Goodwin of the hard right Reform UK party received 10,000, while Labour just hit 9,000. The constituency in northwest England was solid Labour territory for decades, and the result demonstrates that Britain's political landscape is increasingly fragmenting. The victory at Gorton and Denton is a big boost for the small Green Party and a blow to Prime Minister Keir Starmer, whose centre-left Labour Party was relegated to third place. An annual UN report on Colombia's human rights situation highlights a surge of attacks on rural communities by rebel groups and drug traffickers as they fight over territory abandoned by the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia. Scott Campbell, the Colombia representative for the UNHCR, tells the AP the report's an early warning.
We have not seen reductions in terms of homicides of human rights defenders, of child recruitment, of displacement, of lockdowns, of many of the fundamental human rights factors have not improved.
Campbell worries an uptick of violence in rural areas could undermine the nation's upcoming elections. According to the report, the number of people displaced by violence in Colombia increased by 85% in 2025 from the year before, with approximately 94,000 people forced to flee their homes. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.